All right, so we leave Hume for a little bit and we ask the question, do miracles serve as evidence for the truth of Christianity then? Are miracles an apologetic problem or an apologetic resource? Is the theological and philosophical literature, well, they've been both. Great, that doesn't really help us. But certainly the miracles that occurred in the Bible were intended to convince. They do not merely propose a decision, but they obligate their audience to make the right decision, to recognize and believe God. Many see the miracles and don't believe, yet they ought to believe on the basis of the miracles, and many do. So even in the context of Scripture itself, we see miracles work, you know, for the purposes of convincing people, and we see miracles not working. The rich man wanting to have Lazarus or the dead go to his brothers. Saul does the same thing. He encounters on Endor, a real dead soul. And what does he do? He just continues on and he dies because of it. He doesn't listen to the warning signs of the ghostly prophet.
Yeah, exactly. And so Frame tells us to say that miracles warrant faith is not to say that miracles automatically bring people.
Right.
They warrant faith, right? Mm-hmm. They are reasons for faith, and they give rational argumentation for faith, but that doesn't mean that they automatically bring people. Nor is it always legitimate, he tells us, for people to demand miraculous evidence, by the way. Jesus regularly rebuked the Jews' demands for more and more signs, right? Miracles, he says, are revelation, but they're not the only form of revelation. All creation reveals God, and Scripture is his written revelation. And so in these sources, there's enough revelation, Frame tells us, to make us all responsible to believe. Paul in Romans 1 exposes unbelief as willful and culpable because there is enough revelation that everyone should believe, is what Paul argues in Romans chapter 1.
Right. No one may say that he will not believe without a miracle. In that sense, miracles are epistemologically superfluous. We don't absolutely need them, but in them, God gives us more evidence that we strictly need. He piles on the evidence to underscore the cogency of his word and our own responsibility to believe.
Exactly. So do miracles serve as evidence for the truth of Christianity? Yes, but do you need a miracle in order to believe the truth of Christianity? No, you don't, right? Miracles are add-ons. They're superfluous, and they help with regard to this. But really, it's the word of God being used by the Spirit of God that makes belief happen.
Yeah, just look at the story of Gideon. How many miracles was he shown, and each time he's always trepidish about, going forward. God says that, I will use you as a strong and mighty warrior. And he goes, well, I need 17 miracles in order to do this. And
it's one more.
Yeah, just one more and I'll believe. Yeah. Which again, I can always relate to Gideon. So I will never look poorly upon Old Testament people, because I'm sure I'm more like them than Jesus.
Yeah. All right. So he's going to wrap up this chapter now in proving the gospel, right? So we've looked at several elements here. He says what Scripture teaches, it teaches credibly. And that's really his point. It presents an extraordinary spectacle of many authors of different times, social strata, and literary skills, producing a story that is perfectly united around the person of Jesus. And so the facts are presented with remarkable credibility, he says. Even the kings of Israel are shown, warts and all, right? So the Bible just describes it as it is what he's suggesting. And that's a credible description. Despite the radical uniqueness of Jesus and his message, indeed, Scripture even presents a credible reason for its being so credible.
Right.
Right? What is it? Well, it's divine authorship as the covenant constitution of the people of God. The reason it's credible is because it's written by God. Mm-hmm.
Is it credibility absolutely certain? Well, ultimately, yes. For it is the word of God himself, and therefore deserves to be presupposed as the highest standard of credibility. Whether God speaks it through the prophet, or writes it down and we read it, it is ultimately sourced in God. How can we be persuaded of this certainty? Well, the best one is by the Holy Spirit's witness to us, reinforcing the credibility inherent in the text itself. And that's found within Scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:4, 1 Thessalonians 1:5.
And so he ends this chapter here by says, you know, what does the Scripture have to say about the gospel? Can we prove the gospel? Well, he suggests the gospel is seen in the Scriptures, and the Scriptures are credible. And so to that extent, yes, we can prove the gospel. The gospel message is credible because the Scriptures are credible. Scriptures are credible because they come from God.